Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Lady Hope.
And I'm the Urban Gent.
We are bi-coastal. Bi-state-stall? Not even a word. We're unfortunately not in the same location just because of extenuating circumstances, but we are here to give you another fabulous hour of fun-filled entertainment and really good talk. And then we're going to be off the air for a little bit. But we'll, of course, update you guys and let you know when we're coming back strong. But anyway, Urban Gen, since I really haven't talked to you much, this is kind of like the first time in a while because I know you had a good weekend, but do you want to, anything fun or exciting happening on that before we get to our happy little segment of, complain and release? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, just spent it in Baltimore at a National Gay Volleyball Association tournament, their annual one in Baltimore.
Gay athletes.
Yeah. But strangely enough, in the higher levels, a lot of straight people play because they're on high-level national tournaments out there. So it's a really diverse thing to experience because you have, you know, all your friends from Gotham and this, that, the other thing, but then you have players from all over the country, both straight, gay, male, female, transgender, all that. It's pretty interesting.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that's the way it should be, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It really encompasses the rainbow.
Yeah.
I know you were sequestered with lots of work stuff, unfortunately. Would that be your suckiest suck that sucked this week? Or is it something?
I don't know if I would just say it's that, but I don't know. I currently am trying to date and I don't like it, but I guess we'll talk about that later in the show.
That can be woven in to our show. If you want to, you definitely go ahead. I honestly don't think I have anything. I'm just very busy. You're currently dating. I'm currently moving the boyfriend into the residence. So there's a lot of changes happening. So I'm going to learn real quick about what it's like to be an only child who now shares a space. And, you know, there'll probably be some growing pains, but I welcome it. It's part of the evolution. As I look around at all the stuff I own, which is tons and tons of things because I like my stuff, I know that some of it's going to have to go away or in a box, and there's going to be that little kid part of me that's like, no, I have to have all of it here. So I think that, not that it'll suck, but it'll be something for me to learn. And even though if it's like I didn't read that book in 4 years, but I have to have it sitting out so I can look at it, I think I'll be okay if I have to put it in the attic with some other stuff to make room. So
yeah.
So I have some lessons. I got like a big lesson coming, but I welcome it and it's a happy thing. So
yeah.
We'll hope I do well.
Yeah.
You know, we've all had our roommates and we've all, you know, lived at college, but I think this is like a different situation, so. But, so the swinging bachelorette pad is going to open up and share some space. And I think it'll be cool. And, you know, like I said, hopefully I pass. I'm sure he'll let me know. Anyway, so relationships and dating and moving in and whatever, you know, that all that can be complicated too. But then we could add something else into the mix, like maybe you're with a couple people and everyone agrees on it and it works. which I think is really interesting. So, Urban Jet, if you would like to introduce, I know, your friend and our guest, please go ahead.
We'd like to, first of all, we picked Just Be Good to Me because it's about, you know, because of the lyric, I don't care about your other girls, just be good to me, as the title of this episode, because we have Renato Baruco on, someone I met through Gotham, and someone who's out there writing for Huffington Post and other stuff, which he can tell us about. Are you there, Renato?
I'm here. Hi.
Yay! Welcome to our show.
And your accent's just fine for on the air. I know you were scared that no one would understand you.
Well, you never know. It's still early.
Everyone will find it very attractive, too.
Yeah.
You get us a
you and a whole bunch of other people with accents talk all day.
I'm just get you and, like, a British dude and, like, a couple, like, you know, Scottish guy, maybe a French guy, and make you have a conversation.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Be, like, this, like, UN thing. Be very cool.
Yeah. That'd be an open relationship I would be into.
Okay, so we're going to sign up for the Scottish guy, the British guy, the French guy.
Tell the world a little bit about yourself.
Share some stuff.
Well, I'm Italian. I've been living in New York for 7 years. I work primarily in non-for-profit environment, and I work around sexual health and prevention and treatment of sexually transmitted infections. Which has something to do with our topic tonight about open relationships, because ultimately the piece that I wrote for the Huffington Post about healthy relationship was ultimately a discussion about healthy behaviors in general. And I was reading how Alex mentioned that I'm a proud supporter of healthy relationship, of open relationship. I don't know if I would define myself a proud supporter, but I am definitely a supporter of healthy relationships in general, whether they're open or closed. I do think it's a very interesting topic, and it always creates a lot of debate, because whether you're pro or against, normally people feel very strong about it one way or the other.
Yeah, I know too. I know a couple of my friends, when I posted the article, like, lost their minds when they read it.
Losing their minds, saying there's no way it could ever work, like that kind of
thing.
Yeah. Well, then that would be, and you know, there's no way it could ever work for them, you know. But I brought this up actually because something came up at work. A bunch of the girls and I sitting outside eating lunch, talking about this other couple we know, and then it went into this, and I was like, hey, that's what the show's about tonight, because I'm always plugging our show shamelessly. And I was like, what do you guys think? And they're a bunch of young, you know, 20-something girls, and I don't know, you know, if it's just a straight girl thing or whatever, but we all thought, like, oh, gosh, there's no way I couldn't share. Like, that was our immediate... But that was our personal immediate reaction, and everyone's so different, and their whole world is full of so many different people, and you can't put a guideline on how you love or who you love. So I think for some people it totally can work, and I find that really interesting. And we're not in an open one right now.
No, I'm not in a relationship. I'm happily single.
Okay, cool.
But, you know, it's, when we talk about open relationship, like you were saying, first of all, we need to define what we mean by open relationship, because there are several ways to be in an open relationship, right? Well, first of all, there's marital monogamy, and we have that here in the United States, in the Western countries, pretty much everywhere, meaning that we can be married only to one person at a time. So that's not really exactly. There are some areas where laws are different. Then there's genetic monogamy, where I will have kids only with you because you're my partner. And if you really think about it, there are a lot of straight couples that are not in a genetic closed relationship because mm-hmm. for one reason or for another, they may be sperm of donors. Then there's social monogamy, meaning that you and I are a couple and we are together. And we're not going to be affectionate and intimate with anybody else.
Right.
And the last kind is sexual monogamy. You and I have sex only with each other and no one else. Mm-hmm. But every combination of these is a possibility. I could be social monogamous with you, but non-sexual monogamous, meaning you are my one and only partner. I'm not looking for a third. I'm not looking for a little loving family, but you and I. And yet, I'm having sex with other people. So I satisfy my somatic desires with a lot of people, but you are going to satisfy my emotional desire. You're the only one satisfying my emotional desire. So first of all, it's important to define what we mean by open relationship, and then the controversies start.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a question back. What do you feel, since you're both in a relationship, how would you feel about being in an open relationship?
You can go first on this one because you're in an actual relationship.
You want me to take the wheel?
I'll take the wheel first, and then I'll venture my opinion because you know some of my opinion.
And again, even as I open the show, the only child with all her things, just the way she likes them and she likes her stuff for herself. I'm not that good at sharing. And I guess that's like the really basic, like, in response is like, I know just me as right now as a person, even in a one-person relationship, I know I feel a lot of jealousy. That can happen to me. That's happened to me before I've been in a relationship. I have that in me some kind of way. And I feel like there would be an upset in me if the person I was with was involved with someone else too. And that, you know, maybe I'm not open-minded enough or maybe that's just not the type of way I'd want to go. But I honestly don't think I could handle it at all. And I could see myself just being, like, upset and depressed. You know? I've never been, I guess, you know, when we're in relationships, we still see people like, oh, that person's attractive. I've never been in a situation where someone else has crossed my path where I've been someone and I'd be like, oh, my God, I really like them, too. I definitely seem to focus, like, when I'm really with someone, it all goes there, like, Even when I can think of the other guys in the not too distant past that I also liked, and it seemed like a button just went off when I started to be with who I'm with now. It seemed like all those other guys just got deleted in my head. And even when I look at them now, I don't even have that feeling. I'm even saying to myself like, oh, I can't believe I liked you. That's weird. And so it seems like all that stuff just fades away, and I'm just all about that one person, you know. So that's how I know that I am in a relationship. I've had friends who have been that way, and then someone else came into their life, and then it got complicated because they never thought they could have feelings for two people. Again, mm-hmm. I've never experienced that, but I don't know if I'd be open to it because I'm like the one guy, and I'm like, whoop, you, and that's that. Well, that's me, so I'd say no, I couldn't do it. Alex?
Well, I wanted to quote Renato's article about, it says, open relationships simply acknowledge the truth that readily inherently exists in every relationship, like mm-hmm. it or not, namely that our ability to experience physical attraction outside of the relationship does not suddenly stop when we commit our love to one person.
Right.
That's always been the rub with me for I've swung for both sides, not in the way you think, but And, like, my opinion always varies on this.
Mm.
And when I see people in open relationships who make it work,
yeah,
I think it's okay in my head, and I think it's okay. But then I've been privy to watching open relationships tear people apart. So it's just like any sort of conditioning that you've had seeing anything, any type of relationship you've seen, whether it's the relationship you saw with your parents or the relationship you see with others, with
right.
me, who internalizes everything,
mm-hmm.
it's always such a split in my head when I think about it. Because when Frank and Dan were sort of like, this could never work, and blah, 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 I was like, kind of like, huh, I could make this work. But I've been a third.
Yeah,
you know, and I've said that on the show before, that I've been the other person, whether they knew about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I still struggle with what that says about myself, because I told you last week on the couch, on the futon,
yeah.
like, what does that say about me, that I'm always attracted to guys with a boyfriend?
Guys who have other guys. That used to be, you and I both shared that. And, you know, I think that, and I know that for me came from the place of not sure if I really wanted to be someone, or in the safety zone. Like, well, I can't really fully commit. But then again, if you were the third in something that got committed, do you think you could go through with it? Or do you think at some point you might feel jealousy or annoyed or frustration? Or I guess, does it just depend on the guys? Would you be open to that?
No, it depends. It's what Renato says in his article too. It's about telling the truth about what's going on and what you can deal with and how to communicate that. And I don't know. I always feel like when I see some people's open relationships, I feel like one person is just there because they have no other options, and they're the ones getting hurt while the other one just does whatever
right.
crack he wants.
Yeah, there are some open relationships which, unlike what, you know, Renato said about the communications, I remember people I knew where the one's like, yeah, we're open, and the other one was like, no.
No.
It was never discussed with the other partner, and so it's like, maybe you should let them know.
And that is definitely one of the key point of an open relationship. Both parties, both person needs to be on board, and they need to want it, but not to save a relationship, just because they're both okay with it. Because
that's
they're happy
point.
In it, they enjoy it, they find a way to cure some sorts of jealousy. I know this might be controversial as well, but it does work that way for a lot of people. So if they both intimately agree in the open relationship, it's an option. But if anybody has even a very slight concern, an awkward feeling about it, they should even start or consider being in an open relationship, because that's a recipe for a disaster.
Yeah.
And another thought that I have is that, although it sounds pretty terrifying to see the person you love being with someone else, but I also think that there's nothing more brutal than the experience of being cheated on in a relationship. So for certain people, if you have to choose between an open relationship and a supposedly close relationship,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can see why some people would prefer being an open one. At least you know what you're dealing with.
Right. So have you, Renato, been in one before?
I didn't know. I was not in an open relationship. No. I did experience cheating. And it was not a pleasant experience. I don't even necessarily know if I would consider an open relationship, but this is because I may not consider a relationship to begin with, for my nature.
Mm. You just hit the nail on the head with me too.
You're ringing true to my buddy over there.
But you know what the problem is. Sometimes, of course, this is not a. This shouldn't be a generalization. Some of relationships are really based on insecurities, and a lot of relationships start off of solitude or the need to fill a void, which is part of the dynamic, of course, hands off. But it's also a little dangerous. I think that void should be filled to begin with.
Yes.
You should be happy where you are, and then decide to share this happiness with someone else. When you get to the point, to that level of comfort and rationality, then you can make choices about the sexual dynamics of the couple.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So I do think that's a very important point.
Yeah, because I struggle. I think one of the things besides struggling with if I could handle or want through a relationship is that I always, like in my jerkier moments, I'm just like, oh, the reason gay marriage won't work is because I see so many open relationships. Like, what is that supposed to mean?
I mean, the fact that you say that, I know that, you know, there's a kind of similar situation in some people that I know where it's like, I thought they were rock solid, and then I just found out that the one person was, like, creeping on the DL, like, to someone else. And I was like, man, I thought they were, like, a stand-up, you know, example of... And then it made me think of what you say. I'm like, I don't want to think that every gay couple ever is like this.
But, you know, I read an article not too long ago, and I...
What's that? Gay marriage.
I read an article on The Advocate. I wish I could quote it, but I don't have it under my eyes right now. A while back, a few months back, and the title of the article, it was the printed version of The Advocate, was "How Open Gay Relationship Will Save Straight Marriage."
Oh, wow!
Very controversial as well, but you know, certain people are kind of showing how apparently gay marriages are lasting longer than straight marriages, and part might be because a lot of these couples are in open relationships. Of course, this is all speculation. Nobody actually measured it and studied, but I think it's an interesting speculation.
I would think maybe that worked more for men, but I don't know if I don't necessarily think it works for lesbian couples.
Exactly. Interesting point.
Cliche, but it seems very, I mean, maybe it's a cliche for a reason. Again, we, you know, hate making blanket statements, but I was, you know, talking to my friends at work, and I was like, this sometimes seems like the way it is for gay men from just what I've seen, and then, like, the lesbian couples I know are, like, solid together for, but not everyone, though. You know, I've known some that have, like, broken apart, you know?
Yeah.
But it's
cheating. Cheating is everywhere. I know a few.
I've seen a few
lesbian couples that have dealt with cheating issues and stuff, which is never in my whole time, it's become more and more prevalent. And I think that just goes with just the way of the world, and everything's out there, and the internet, and all that stuff, and just people
have so much
access to people. Both emotionally and sexually through the internet, that it's so much easier to cheat these days.
Yeah, it's like it's easier to cheat than it is to talk it out, it seems, because what you can do is, like, roll over to your computer and start looking on sites and finding people instead of you want to turn around and be like, hey, we're having a problem.
Yeah, and people don't work things out anymore.
They don't. I think the computer has ruined working things out. Social media.
I don't know if I totally agree. I always say that it's never the tool, it's the intention.
This is true.
So if you're not happy and you want to cheat, on your boyfriend or girlfriend, you will find a way to do it with or without the internet. Which is, you know, unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it makes it a bit easier, but like you said, it's, you know, if you want it, you're going to find the way regardless.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be an issue. I mean, I know of, and I never met them personally, but I've got it's like friends of friends, and they were like the first couple I ever really heard discuss. It's I think it's two women and a guy in they're friends of good friends of mine, but like I said, I never met them. They're in Seattle, and I think they have like a kid together, and it's just the three of them. And as far as I know, it's like all, you know, it's all peachy keen and roses. And I'm just like, wow, high five, guys. Like, I remember, you know, when I met these friends, they tell me about their friends, and like they went to like the joint wedding or what kind of ever ceremony the three of them had in a way. And I, you know, we would sit and discuss, and I was like, I don't know if I could ever, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but it I was like, but cool on them, man. If that all works for them and they're happy and they even have like a kid, it's pretty awesome, you know, because I don't really, because that doesn't bother me either. Like, even, I guess this is more in the territory of a religious thing, but I was, I used to watch Sister Wives on TLC.
Yeah.
Just found it, like, fascinating. And also, I love Big Love, and that was a good show. But I know that's a part of certain people's religions, but they all supposedly, or hopefully you think in those cases, they're all, like, accepted and are like, yes, I want to be a part of this. Like, no one's forcing them. And, like, that was fascinating, too. And I could see the points, and that caused some discussion with my friends and I who just, like, liked and watched the shows, be like, could you ever do it? Would it be cool to be, like, a sister wife and then be like, oh, everyone shares and helps out? And I was like, yeah, but I still have my insecurity thing, so I don't know if I could go that route. But, you know, I always found that kind of fascinating and interesting. So I checked out all those shows because I'm like, wow, world I just don't know about, you know.
Well, that's all very patriarchal and one-sided, though. It's not like the women, the wives have their own other husbands and stuff.
Yeah,
that's more about the religious edict of procreation.
Yeah, that was the part that always got me, was like, it's always sister wives, never,
yeah.
You know, the woman's like, and here's my five husbands, and that's what I got, so... You know,
it's such a reversal from like matriarchal lore, mm-hmm. like where Cleopatra and the goddesses had many lovers, and you see the flip between the male dominated religions and the female centric religion. Matrocentric. We use matrocentric on that.
Well, but it's also, while I was writing this article, I did a little research, and there were all these studies, this anthropological study and some other genetic studies that show that, you know, history of humanity, monogamy has been, you know, preferred to other type of relationship. However, if you look at genetics, humans have never been monogamous.
Yeah.
So it goes back to what we were saying earlier, that, you know, that sometimes we like the idea of monogamy, but maybe we're not really built to be monogamous. This doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't. There was another scientist who was saying how, although it's clear that humans have never been monogamous, the idea of monogamy itself is very healthy, and this is proved by a lot of studies and a lot of data. People that are in loving and close relationship are healthier, are wealthier, but who knows if they were sexually monogamous as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we do a follow-up to this show, we'll also have someone who's like, who will look at like the spiritual perspective on this.
Right.
Because when Allison and I were looking more into this stuff when we took a class some years ago,
mm-hmm.
you talk about your custom groups and the souls you're bonded with and your soulmates and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always just wondered if you're supposed to since we have such a broad definition of soulmate now, if you wonder, like, if you're supposed to only be with one person.
I mean, I think that you are, you should have more than one if you're soulmate or whatever. I definitely think, you know, there is one person for everybody, but then, like, you might just in that early show, soulmate could be all different types of relationships and not just like a romantic one, you know, which I think is interesting too.
But it goes back to Cranford when Georgie would say to me that, oh, he's out there and he came back into this existence to be something you like, and he's mad at you because you haven't found him yet, and you're resisting finding him. So it's just like, aren't we? But from what my human design thing from Susan says is that I'm like the experimenter. I came back as an experimenter, and I have to experience all different things so that later in life I have the wisdom that carries me through the rest of my life. So, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard when you have like these intellectual and spiritual solutions in your head, but it just doesn't make sense right now.
In a bar when you're sitting there talking to someone.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, well, I'm with this. And while you're having a drink, you're like, yeah, it's not going to work. How can it not be tough? Of course it is. But you're doing the damn thing, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And ultimately, one of the cons I think of open relationship, and it's something, and this is the public health perspective jumped in, and I did mention it at some point, was the fact that if you are in an open relationship, you are having sex with multiple sexual partners, and it's proven that multiple sexual partners is one of the risk factors for the spread of sexually transmitted infections. And while we all know that it doesn't really matter how many people you have sex with, but what kind of sex you have and whether you protect yourself or not, it is also true that there are a lot of behaviors like oral sex that very few people would even imagine having protected. So if you're not having sex with your partner, you might still not use a condom for oral sex, which, you know, it does allow the transmission of a lot of sexually transmitted infection in the throat and from the throat to the penis or to the vagina. So in terms of a public health perspective, if you really should protect you and your partner by wearing condoms, using Delta dams, and so on, because the more sexual partners you have, the higher are the chances to have sexually transmitted infections, and down the road have been shorter lives because sexually transmitted infections are then linked to some sort of cancers. And this is definitely the downside of having multiple sexual partners, for sure.
Right, yeah. That would make sense that that physical would, you know, add into it. And then, again, that goes along with the communication again. If you're all talking, you're all being safe, we're all being honest with each other, you know, you realistically, like, let's go get checked, blah, 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 blah. And then that's the whole point. If you're really going to go and do this, and then hope, you know, everyone's got to be on the same page to get it going. But now, what would you say to somebody, like, let's say someone, you know, there's a couple and, like, one person is kind of curious or interested into having that talk or wanting to add someone else, what would you say would be, like, the best way to approach it, or just, like, just be honest and just have a conversation and see?
Well, I think that that's a tricky question.
Yeah.
I do think that having a conversation right away, an open conversation, would be ideal. But we also know that most likely that conversation is going to end up in a huge
drama or fight, because the partner is going to wonder, why is my partner asking me to have sex with other people?
Yeah, and that comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that first of all, the person, the one who's interested or curious about having sex with other people, should really wonder whether it's just a curiosity that we all have at some point, whether we are pro or against open relationship, or if something he or she really wants to act upon, it's something they really want to do. And
right.
If something they really want and they really need, then yes, they need to find a way to discuss it with the partner. And one of the things we didn't mention that is also important are the rules.
Yes, you got to clearly.
Every open relationship have very clear sets of rules. Sometimes there are even too many rules, and you get lost in all these rules.
Right.
But I have to say that there are some different ways of having an open relationship. You can even have sex with other people, but just when your partner is present.
Yeah, a lot of people do that too.
Mm.
Right. Which to me opens, and this is personal idea, it's not necessarily related to stuff that people told me, it isn't another tricky situation, because you're telling your partner, okay, we can open our relationship to others, but I want to be there monitoring every second of the encounter.
Oh, and that could definitely be a way where a lot of stress and problems could come in too.
Yes, and it's terrible. I think it's terrible, and that's why I wouldn't consider having sex with a couple, because
right.
First of all, it really sounds a disaster. I wouldn't consider it. It's interesting because I don't know if you ever had this conversation in a previous episode, but if you go on social networks for gay men to meet other men, hook up apps or so on, there are so many guys in open relationships, many, to the point that people sometimes joke around. They're like, can they just create an app for single men? Because it is pretty overwhelming, the amount of men who are in relationship on these apps.
Do you think biggest? Is this a blanket statement too? Do you think it's biggest in the gay male community, or is it just?
Well, I think that's because straight men straight women. I'm not gonna say it's not exclusive to both, but they're culturalized. And this is the way I think they're culturalized to make sure it's cheating.
I see.
It's exciting because it's on TV shows, it's in movies where these couples, everything gets messed up because, you have this hot other woman come into play or blah, 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 blah,
Or even those websites like, those services like Ashley Madison, I hear it advertised all the time because I listen to Howard.
Which one?
Where they're set up specifically for straight guys to cheat. It's like a pay service. You're like, or there's another one. I forget. There's another one besides that one where it's like, meet a girl to cheat on and don't tell anyone and it's fine and she won't do anything. It's crazy. It's a business. I was like, this really exists? Like, I was shocked.
I also want to go on record. I also want to go on record as to say that I can't do threesomes because they're a lot of work and very stressful. I had a few in my life and I'm just like, I can't do this.
I would feel like it would be complicated and then I'd be like, oh, forget it, I'm going to watch TV.
More power to you that if you can do it all the time, but man, oh man. Too much work, and you don't know if everybody's happy.
It's not like in the movies, is that what you're saying? record duly noted, my friend.
Yeah, but I also I think early in my coming out, besides experimenting with stuff like that, having multiple crushes on people,
yes.
and all that stuff, and it happens at the same time, and you wonder, did you both be together, or do you pick one, and all that stuff. I remember these questions I had back in my clubbing days with these two guys and blah, blah, blah. And I just always would, like, try to think, like, I didn't know any better. And I said I was really in love with them both, and I don't know. I don't know what to pick, and I don't know what to do. So we didn't have discussions like this back in the day.
That wasn't a time period. We were like, let's sit and talk about all the different ways. Did you ever end up, were you ever with either of them or both at a time?
No, I didn't at that time, but later in life when we crossed paths again, you know, not that I was looking for anything, but I closed the loop, so to say, on that, on those like mutual feelings, and now that I have such an open mind about things, but you know, I still don't know if I could do it. I still don't know if I could be the generator of an open relationship. I can always be the accessory to one, but I don't think I could ever. What was that?
You could be a player, but not a creator.
Yeah, I couldn't say. I don't think there could come a point where I'd be committed to someone and say, "Oh, let's change this to an open relationship." But I can be the single person who joins one. Very weird. Very weird the way I think.
Yeah, but that's cool. But everyone's thinking different and doing what they got to do. So I think, you know, as long as I was always, and this is what I've said about everything, even back to, you know, like basic as gay rights, was I remember my little like Amnesty International sticker that had a pink triangle on it, and I stuck it on my notebook in high school, and it said, "Love is a basic human right." And that was, like, one of their campaigns in the 90s, and we, like, put them everywhere because, gosh darn it, that's the truth. And I always said, if adults are all consenting and no one's being hurt, I don't care what you do, and that's how it should be, you know?
Yeah.
Because then this is the stupid argument that the crazy, scary part of the right gets into. Well, they're like, and then it'll be with animals. And I was like, get the hell out of here, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, no, it never will, and you're nuts, and shut up, you know? And people don't understand, and some people are just, like, afraid, and maybe those are the people that want to experience it, but they're so scared, you know?
Yeah, well, there'll always be people in the world who will deny what they truly desire and take it out on the rest of the world. We're getting so sociopolitical out of it.
Oh, my God. Look at us go. Oh, high five.
So, Renato, any war stories, any threesomes, any people who've asked you to join their open relationships or anything like that? Any stories from the barracks?
Well, what I've been getting lately a couple of times is guys that are in emotional open relationship, social open relationship.
Explain that again, the emotional open one.
Where, you know, troubles, they call them, where it's not only two people in an intimate and loving relationship, but it's three or more. I haven't seen more than three now, but I definitely saw three. Actually, I'm seeing it every day. I have a friend who just moved to Georgia to be in a three-way relationship. I have a couple of friends in San Francisco. Nobody in New York yet. Actually, that's not true. I also have a friend in New York in a three-way relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's apparently it's becoming more prevalent, and that definitely opens the stage to more issues. But I do have another story that I did mention in the article, and it's this friend of mine, his name is Robert, and I know I can talk about this story because he was part of the article. And he was in a very loving relationship in Washington, D.C., and they were in love. They were together for a while, for a few years. And Robert was the one who decided to propose the open relationship. But they really got lost in the rule, and they tried all the combinations of do whatever you want, just don't tell me about it. Do whatever you want, but tell me every single detail about it. Let's just do it only together. Let's just do it only separately. Ultimately, it became draining and it became very hurtful for both people in the relationship. So they had to break up, and they broke up since then. And it's interesting how Robert now is absolutely against open relationship, because he feels like that relationship that was so dear and so great to him was ultimately ruined by this experimentation that they had with open relationships.
I remember
I had two friends who were in an 11-year relationship, and later as they got older and hit their 40s, they were together in college. So it's a very Peter, like what I like to call the Peter Pan syndrome with gay men sometimes, is that we miss out on our childhood and our teenage years being sexual and being able to be who we truly are. So we get into either, you go into a pattern where you either find someone right away and you're with them and you make up for all that time you weren't with someone, or you sleep around and have your youth later in life, or you bring someone along with on the ride, and it turned into that where they were first trying the threesome thing where they would bring a third in, but they would both be there, and then the wheels started to come off on that, so they just started sleeping with other people individually without each other, and then eventually they just ended up hating each other because they knew their relationship wasn't working, and it was just like a band-aid to the inevitable, and eventually it just tore everything apart. Like they were financially bound with each other. They had to get legal, like there was no legal marriage or civil unions back then, but they were financially bound in a mortgage together. Card, joint bank account. So they had to like get divorced without getting divorced.
Without any legal stuff, and that's even trickier, I bet.
Yeah, that was even trickier because it had to be all in fairness, and the lawyers had to negotiate because there wasn't there was no community property, of course.
There wasn't
anything really legally binding them to be fair to each other.
Needless to say,
I only talked to one of them. Because one of them liked me more and all this stuff, but it was a mess. Like, I was like, this is a mess.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to make a quick exit from that.
And we also have to say, though, that there are open relationships that do work, and they work for a long time. And
like my friend's friend, as far as I know.
And definitely.
People in Seattle. Heard of. They're doing well, I think.
Yeah, it could be, but at least there's no emotional involvement with other people. I'm actually, there's a friend of mine who's listening to the show right now, and he is sending live tweet on Facebook, and he's saying how, in his case, the open relationship allowed him to have a longer relationship. Because if there was not the possibility, the relationship would have ended a long time ago.
Which,
you know, it's controversial, but it's a possibility. And Stephen, which is the other person I mentioned in the article, he is in a great open relationship in San Francisco. They're about to get married, actually, in January.
Congratulations.
So it does work. In certain cases, it works. And you know how I close my article quoting the Abbot, right?
Yeah.
Well, I will quote another singer, Sheryl Crow. To summarize what I think about the subject.
Well, you don't bring me anything but down. Oh, no, wait, before you complete that thought, Renato, it's funny I just reposted your article, and and you guys can look at this, but don't you dare say anything, but the guy who was part of that awful open relationship just commented on your article.
I'll get out of town.
Irony. Anyway, complete your thought, Renato. Sorry.
I'll go
that
back
was just
to that.
Back to Cheryl Crow.
I was saying that to summarize my position, I will quote Cheryl Crow. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad.
Okay.
I'm the difficult kind, or you don't bring me anything but down.
You know, I was going to say life is a highway, but that's not her.
That's not her, though. A change will do you good.
But it's true. If it really works for both partners and it makes both partners happy, the same level, equally, you know what? Welcome to open relationship. There's also some concern in the gay community about heteronormativity and the fact that you really want to simulate. Yes?
Yeah.
You really want to simulate to traditional straight couples. And I don't think that the two things are mutually exclusive. You can have in a very loving relationship. You can be married to just one person and you know, have achieved so many desires and with someone else. You know, it might not be as romantic. It might not be as it might not be the child who dreams that a lot of people have. But if it works and doesn't hurt anybody, you know.
Yeah. Well, me and Dan, who is my platonic gay life partner, talk about heteronormativity all the time.
Uh-huh.
And we're just like, we've so seen so many broken marriages and all that stuff, and fitting into heterosexual norms for the gay community doesn't exactly mean we get accepted or tolerated anymore, but that seems to be the way the culture is going. Because we want to be perceived so well as normal, quote unquote, that we're trying to fit into that heteronormative, you know, ideal, whatever they want to see us to be. which for me goes against everything I believe.
So don't do it.
Don't be the couple on the wedding cake. You know, it's not gonna gain you any more acceptance.
No, I don't even know who those people are. And like when I so now I'm a couple and it's like, wow, it's crazy. But I I see that stuff and I was like, that's unrealistic. Like there's the wedding cake hetero couple isn't real, so there's no way, you know, you don't want to be. I totally know where you're coming from and what you're saying. It's like, well, we could be just like you guys, see? But, like, they're already screwed up already over here on this side of the fence. So
yeah.
I've seen it, too. And it's, you know, it all takes the work and the commitment and, you know, you want to give it the time that you want to give it because you believe in it and you love your person, and that's all that matters. And screw that wedding cake junk. They never taste that good anyway. And everyone's too full from cocktail hour, and they never eat their slice.
Exactly. Anyway, we have to tell Renato that he quoted "Lay All Your Love on Me," which is like the first ABBA song I ever got you to like. Ever.
My friend Tanya in high school is an ABBA fan. I remember her making me a tape, and I was like, "Oh, it's cute." And she liked other stuff too that I like, but she also loves ABBA. And then I meet Alex, and I'm like, oh, but you're kind of like that too. And he's like, oh, I love it. They're fun. And, you know, you think of the Dancing Queen. And then I guess when we were in the car and you played it, and you were like, kind of a song you're going to like, you know, getting to know me. As you got to know me a little, you're like, wait till you hear this. And I was like, oh, you're like, see? So, yes, that's a very, it's a very special song. It will go on our box set compilation. We'll post that post show on the pages, because that's a good one. I actually haven't heard it in a while. Oh my gosh, we just got like a little time left. Renata, is there anything that you wanna, you know, you wanna go out on a certain kind of note, or say like some closing stuff to everyone that's been listening who may be concerned, who may have had a bad experience, or blah blah blah, or anyone who's just interested in this?
Well, ultimately, it's just about having fun, right? And by having fun, I mean being happy and do whatever works for you. And make sure that that's exactly what you want, ultimately. If you decide to be in an open relationship, do it because you want that, not because your partner wants that. And I think that's a very, I feel very strong about this point. Mm-hmm. The rest, you know, we all love and we all have sex in different ways. So, you know, any possibility is really, it's really out there for us to pick.
Yeah, it's perfect. Oh, well, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for inviting me. This was so much fun.
Yes, awesome.
We'll probably have you on again. We like doing our follow-up shows.
Yeah, we like doing our relationship round tables, and we'd love to have you as part of that as well.
Yeah.
Like the different perspectives on things. Oh, my gosh.
It'll be my pleasure.
Yeah, well, thank you again for being on. And, yeah, that article is up there right now for everyone. It's linked to our show page that came up today, and that's posted on our thing. So go read his article. Go see that comment. I'll go back now. And, thank you, Renata, so much for being on. We appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
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 See you soon.
Bye. Okay. Woo! Like we said, yes, we're going to take a little hiatus for a bit. But, especially Urban Gent, who's tweets, so he's, like, frequently out there, we're always good at communicating, besides just in relationships with our fans and our friends and our family. And then, you know, letting everyone know what's coming on and what's going on and what's to come.
It's the Gemini rising in me, the Gemini that craves communication, which is the antithesis of my other two sides.
You're constantly battling.
Who are secretive and introverted and don't want to tell people anything.
Well, that means you eventually do tell people stuff, or you just tell the right people stuff. So
yeah,
I know eventually you'll be like, you know what? And you'll have to just tell me some crazy stuff that's going on. And that I appreciate too. But we'll keep everyone up to date of when it's time to come on back to us, and we'll let you know. We'll start a whole new season. But for now, we want to say toodaloo. Will we like to hear from the unicorn? Because it's been a while.
Yes, let's hear from the unicorn. It'll be apropos because we ended so behind the snark with a unicorn too. The unicorn message.
Let's see what our magical unicorn has to say.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Follow that rainbow to your dreams.
Oh, follow the rainbow to your dreams. That is what we're doing. I think that's great advice. Well, thank you all for listening. Thanks to my co-host who, you know, isn't here physically but always with me.
Trapped at my desk.
The perils of working from home is sometimes you never get to leave.
Yes.
But we hope everyone has a great weekend, and we'll enjoy our time off, and we'll come back with more fun stuff for you.
Happy start to your spring and your summer.
That's right. Have good times, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.